AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
आप सुन रहे हैं SBS हिंदी। अपने रेडियो पर हर शाम सुनिए हमारा कार्यक्रम। आप हमारा कार्यक्रम हमारी वेबसाइट पर और SBS मोबाइल ऐप द्वारा सुन सकते हैं। sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाएं।
Thanks for joining us today, Ravin.
Thank you for having me.
We have a lot to cover, so let's jump straight into it.
Let's do that.
Now, your initial education, your training, your career has been in the hospitality sector. What made you choose the path of public service?
That's very interesting because my parents were both public servants. So I've always had an affinity towards service in some way, shape or form. So with the typical Indian aspect of having to do a medical entrance exam and an engineering entrance exam, I didn't do too bad, but it just was not for me. And I thought I'd go into the hospitality sector. I really enjoyed it. And I would not deny that at all. It was spectacular. I got to work in some of the finest hotels in the world, luxury at a very different level. However, I did have this feeling that while there was luxury, it wasn't truly about service. I eventually realized it was very transactional. It is for someone who pays at the end of the day. And no blame to the hospitality industry. That's how it works. I had the opportunity to get introduced to the Australian High Commission while I was in New Delhi. And it just clicked for me. But I think what really connected was with the values that the Australian High Commission had brought out there as well. It was about those Australian values of standing together strong for democracy, giving a fair go. Those kind of things really appealed to me. And I just went, well, this is where it is. And then it became home. So can't complain.
If there was a barometer for social cohesion, where would Cairns stand, according to you, from low to moderate to high?
I definitely say Cairns is between moderate and high. It's definitely there. We had a little chat about the Indian Cairns Festival a short while ago. Its first edition was in 2024, last year. The organizers, the Global Organization for People of Indian Origin, they planned for approximately 5,000 attendees. Well, went in excess of 7,000 people. And this year was no different, with a plan for nearly 8,000 to 9,000 people, and went well in excess of 10,000. So from the social cohesion aspect of celebration, culture, cuisine, festivals, dancing, music, there's definitely a great interest in Cairns. The other aspect, of course, comes into what are the opportunities that people from multicultural backgrounds have. Now, there is a strong element to remember here that in Australia, a lot of our regional centres such as Cairns and our rural and outback areas are supported by migrant communities. The Australian government has a skilled migration program into regional Australia. So we do see a lot of migrants come in here. And while we've heard the occasional issue, overall, it has been a matter where our community has been able to support each other very well. We saw during the Cyclone Alfred and Cyclone Jasper, we saw how the multicultural community, as well as the broader, forgive my use of the word mainstream, but I can't find another word at the moment, but the mainstream community and our multicultural community really worked together to the extent that I could say that in Cairns, the multicultural community is the mainstream community. And so it's definitely a community that is really standing out. But then it also begs the question of what is multiculturalism and what is social cohesion in a country that has been built over 65,000 years with our First Nations people and then through our colonial history and then moving on to go past the white Australia policy to becoming this modern multicultural nation. And Cairns is at the heartbeat and center of that as well. We've had our Indian migration story, if we talk about in Cairns, started in the 19th century. And at the same time, we've also had our Chinese migrants come through. One of the first butcher shops in Cairns was located right where we are in Grafton Street, was run by Chinese community members. And just down the street, there was a bakery that was started by a woman of Punjabi heritage, but a very English bakery. So there is that connection that goes on for a while. But yes, of course, we'd love to see more cohesion and we'd like to have an opportunity where we see the community move together as more cohesive. I think we're on the pathway to it. And Cairns is a wonderful place to see that play out with fantastic organizations. In almost every venue you go to, you'll find people from different cultural heritages working together. And that's what leads to social cohesion in the end, isn't it? It's an opportunity for people to come together, celebrate, but at the same time, come together and progress life together as well.
Social cohesion is frequently mentioned in policy conversations, but to make it more than a compliance tick or a compliance term, how can we explore its deeper meaning and apply it in ways that genuinely connect communities? And to a large extent, you have answered the question, but let's dig a bit deeper into
it. Sure. I mean, I'm no expert on it, Preeti, but one of the things that I do believe is the foundation for social cohesion is the opportunity to have respectful conversations, but also well-informed conversations. If we are going to have a conversation that's not well-informed, we all have differences of opinion. And I'm a person of Indian heritage. I grew up in a country with a milieu of views on any topic. So I understand the aspect of difference of opinion and respecting people for that. However, in Australia, we want to take it a step further, and social cohesion happens when we have that conversation with each other. I am not accepting of a certain value that you have. It shouldn't be a conversation about saying, I don't accept it. It's about, I want to understand why you have that particular value. And I think Australians are pretty good at it. And when I say Australian, I'm painting the picture of this whole tapestry of this nation, which has... You know, I don't think that the phrase Australia is one of the most successful multicultural nations in the world is a fallacy, or I don't think it's a slogan in any way. I truly believe that it is one of the most successful multicultural societies in the world. I see that every day. I get to live it every day through my line of work. Social cohesion, however, would come in when we are able to have those respectful conversations. And I believe that having well-informed conversations are a part of that respect. If you're going to come into a conversation without all the facts, without all the truthful information, I think that's a bit disrespectful to the person you're going to have a conversation with. Now, this is my personal view. At the same time, there's also a huge opportunity for us to have conversations on what is it that unites us. As Australians, there are certain aspects that bring us together. I think, for me, the biggest aspect is the fair go. The element that someone who tries hard will have success in this country. We're not talking about a dream or a possibility. We're talking about the opportunity for people. And I really think Australia gives us that opportunity. We're a country that is very fortunate to have world-leading healthcare. We're a society that takes care of each other, be it through our taxation systems or through our volunteering systems. We've one of the finest volunteering networks in the entire world. People jump at the opportunities to volunteer. We see even students who come from overseas. We know that international students are amongst our largest contributors to volunteering. If our society was not enabling that, if our society was not socially cohesive enough to enable that, I don't think international students would have been one of our largest participants. So I think social cohesion would be about finding out what unites us and having conversations about those. And by finding what unites us, we can bridge our differences. Because at the end of the day, I take the example of a bridge. We have so many different products of different consistencies that you use to make a bridge. But in the end, when you put them all together in the right way and you find a way to connect them all together, you get a solid bridge that will stand for generations.
You just mentioned that multiculturalism is a good news story in Australia. Is multiculturalism a confused concept in general? Is it necessary that we should respect all beliefs and ways of thinking? Or does it allow using diversity to bring in ideas that go against the contemporary Australian values that we've started with?
That's a very challenging question, Preeti. And that's largely because how an individual shapes their personal values is dependent on many factors. It could be their upbringing, could be their life experiences. Say, an individual who has grown up in a society of plenty, where it might be a society of plenty, but if there are rigid social structures that say women have to be treated in a particular way or LGBTQIA people do not have human rights, that is going to be that individual's value. Now, to say that that value is wrong is absolutely right from our foundational element, because that's not the value we live by in Australia. But what we should be doing is creating a safe space for individuals who come with those values to understand our values and tell them why we have those values. And we need to have those conversations in safe spaces. I don't think finger pointing or having an argument is going to be the best solution to it. The abilities of the Australian society to create safe spaces to have those conversations is very important. And
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
I think that's the nuance that is sometimes lacking in some of the conversations surrounding multiculturalism. We have people from diverse backgrounds, diverse value system, diverse religious experiences, diverse parental experiences who have come through. To expect them to align to a single value system is a huge challenge. But that being said, I do think as we're both migrants ourselves, we both have the good fortune of becoming the citizens of this country and contributing to this nation. We went through a period of getting used to this country. We arrived in different pathways as migrants, but we get our permanent residency, we spend years, we go through a citizenship testing process, we go through an Australian values process to eventually become Australian citizens. And that's what's tested through the citizenship test and so on. And we have that opportunity to demonstrate to decision makers in this country that we have values and those do align with that of Australia. And I do think migrants are taking that pathway. And I think that's what will set the basis of a strong foundation, an understanding of what those values that contribute to citizenship are. And I do think the migrant community is very invested in that. We do know that there is an aspiration in almost every migrant who moves to this country to become a citizen of this country. And I'm living in Cairns. Like, is it surprising that you want to be a citizen of this beautiful country, blessed with natural resources? But while we have the fortune of becoming citizens of this country, and when I say fortune, I'm not saying it is something that we need to be grateful for. I'm very clear about that. Australia needs its migrants and its migrant population as much as the migrants aspire to live in Australia as well. And it's a shared relationship. And it's a commitment that many migrants make to continue to live in this country. But yes, the aspect remains that as social cohesion and multiculturalism takes shape, there will be changes that happen to our society. According to the 2021 census, 51% of our population was either born overseas or they have a parent who was born overseas. The nature of our nation is changing, but the values still remain the same. And that's what keeps us going. I think it's a very long-winded way of saying I love this country. It's an amazing place to live in.
And to a large extent, it sounds like a lot of it is to do with assimilation, which takes me to my next question. With the focus on Indian migration in particular, does belonging require full assimilation, according to you?
I'm not a big fan of the word assimilation, but I know that it's an important aspect of global migration. It's an important aspect of migration because countries want to ensure that the way they live and the culture they have is not changed, because that's our identity as a nation at the end of the day. So I would like to believe that I'm one of the Australians who have assimilated in the sense. I'm very much a strong believer in the democratic traditions of this country. I'm a strong believer in the fact that we need to respect each other, have respectful conversations. And even when we disagree at the end of the day, we can either choose to go to a pub and have a drink together, or we can sit down for a very nice meal in one of our kebab shops along the street, or walk into a very fine Japanese restaurant along the streets of Cairns. Any of these options are there where we can have our disagreements, but we can come together and still have those conversations and still part as Australians who are contributing to the shared future of this nation. So I'd like to think on that front, I am assimilated, but I've not given up aspects of my Indian identity, or specifically, if I have to say, my Malayali identity. I still speak my language. I will still go to the movie theater at Cairns Central and shout and scream when Loka was released recently. I just lost my absolute cool. I went to watch Lucifer, which is a big Malayalam hit. And I remember when KLT666, the car in which Mohanlal travels, arrived on screen, I screamed. So that element of me is still there. There are other values that I do have, which is my religious values. I carry my religious values with me. It's not something I wear on my sleeve, but I'm able to have those values within me. And I'm still able to live a prosperous life in Australia in line with its values. So I think I've chosen the best parts of my values and adapted them to being living in Australia. So I've assimilated, but maybe that's what the assimilation that Australia is: bring the best of what you have to this nation. And anything that doesn't align with our values, maybe this is not the place for it.
Thank you, Ab. Just the last couple of questions. Ab, as someone committed to cultural enrichment and intentional leadership, where and when, according to you, does the important work of belonging and inclusion begin?
I think the process of belonging and inclusion begins right before you arrive in this country. Mm-hmm. It's the perception of who we are as a nation. How will we be perceived overseas? Why do people choose to come to Australia? It's not just because of cricket, or it's not just because we have a large Indian population here. Let's just take the example of the Indian migrants who've come here. That's not the only reason why we come here. There are opportunities in Australia. There is a particular way of life that is promised. And one of those elements is the right to live in a society that treats you with respect, a society that gives you the opportunity to explore what you'd like to do with your life. And those elements are extremely important to everyone. And that is as much an important aspect of belonging and inclusion as it is to be able to get services in your language, to be able to access the kind of food that you might have grown up eating, or for that matter, even to walk into a healthcare center and be able to discuss difficult issues ranging from domestic and family violence to sexual health in a manner that is comfortable and culturally appropriate for you. I'd like to think that Australia is making great strides in this space. We know that recently the Australian government has stood up the Office for Multicultural Affairs based on the recommendations of the Multicultural Framework Review. I'm not aware of any of our partner countries that have a federal or a national level consideration of multicultural affairs, be it in the United States or the United Kingdom or Canada or New Zealand for that matter. I believe New Zealand might have some form of a national multicultural body, but our other nations, which are really large and comparable to us, do not have those kind of organizations. It's always heartening to see when you visit the website of a state health provider, there is a multicultural action plan. These are all steps towards belonging and inclusion. And a lot of this comes in because people from multicultural backgrounds are a part of those spaces as well. Australia is actively looking to create spaces that I believe are safe for multicultural communities. We have a long way to go. But I think we're really striding along the right pathway for it.
And that takes us to political representation of people from a multicultural background. As you are aware, at the moment, we are a bit lacking in that particular aspect. According to you, why do minority and cold voices matter in leadership?
I think the basic statement for that is a statement that's bandied around quite a lot. It's almost used as a tagline, but I believe it's a very powerful statement. You cannot be what you cannot see. I cannot be a doctor. As a young migrant of, say, African heritage who comes here through Australia's humanitarian pathway, if a young African migrant who comes on a humanitarian pathway goes into hospitals and all he sees are, say, for example, South Asian doctors and not a single African heritage doctor, that individual is not going to see themselves as a doctor. It's the same for a South Asian student who walks into a university with aspirations of doing research. And if they're encountered by a room full of leaders who are predominantly people from Anglo-Saxon backgrounds, they're going to think, I don't fit into this space. So it's vital that people who do want to be leaders do step into that space and break those barriers, if there are barriers that do exist. Again, as I said, I'm a strong believer in the fact that Australia is taking great strides and organizations of multicultural targets, quotas to meet. We've seen that some of our political parties in Australia have employed the quota system to ensure that women's representation is effective. And we've seen that deliver certain outcomes for those political parties. Organizations we see women at the helm of many organizations, right from the Reserve Bank of Australia to the Secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade or the Department of Home Affairs. Or we look at the private sector, where Australia's largest airline, Qantas, is now headed by a woman. So there are opportunities, I strongly believe, for people to break barriers. Australia is on that pathway. I do think there will be a time when people will not think twice about this in Australia. We are a very young nation. I often compare ourselves with that of the United Kingdom. You know, the United Kingdom has had a prime minister of Indian heritage. And today in Australia, we have a prime minister of Italian heritage. And just thinking back, it was only just after World War II that the Italian migration to Australia had started. And today we have a person sitting at the lodge who is of Italian heritage. The Minister for Multicultural Affairs of Australia, Dr. Anne Ali, is a woman who arrived from the Middle East. We have Varun Ghosh, a senator from Western Australia, who is in the Australian Senate, and Senator Wong, who's our foreign minister today, is a woman of East Asian heritage, and very powerfully speaks multiple languages from Southeast Asia and engages in that space. And I think there are people breaking these barriers. And as a person from migrant background, I do think I have people to look up to across our large spectrum of society. And I think this is going to increase over time. But yes, it is vital, as anyone who wants to step into leadership also needs to understand, that leadership is not just about performing a role. It is also about delivering a responsibility. At the end of the day, as Spider-Man taught us, with great power comes great responsibility. And when you have the power of leadership, it's vital that you take some responsibility with you. I'm an individual who believes that. I would not want to push that on anybody who wants to step into leadership. But my philosophy of leadership would be to make sure that there's visibility and opportunity for people to step in as well. Yes.
Now, my final question to you is, if someone was to say to you, go back to your country, what would be your response?
I'd be like, the problem is I have to choose between Canberra and Cairns, and I love both places. Which country do I go back to? This is my country. And I don't know if I will grace that.
SBS Radio se download karne ke liye aapka dhanyawad. Hamara pura karyakram aap kaise sune? Iske liye sbs.com.au/Hindi par jaye.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.